I have two sermons. You get today, you get two for the price of one.
Amen. Amen.
I have one I have one sermon that I've prepared and that's written down. Amen. I had another sermon that when Tori and I were sitting down talking about a football, the outcome of a football game that just happened to put me, just fell on me. So I'm right now determining which one I'm going to preach here. And I think I'll go with the, I think I'll save the other one. I think I'll do my New Year's. I think I'll do my New Year's message. Yeah. And maybe I'll weave in or some of that other one. Maybe it'll slide up in there. We'll see. But I titled this message, My Times Are In Your Hand. My times are in your hand. Because last year was quite a year. Amen. Quite a year of change in our lives and for many around the world. Last year was like no other year in our lifetime, to see the devastation, to see the impact upon people's lives. No one will ever forget the change that we experienced last year. And I remember preaching a sermon on change, and how change, because, Tori got the job, was going to Mississippi, and our house was in all kinds of, going through all kinds of changes in the midst of a pandemic. And in the throes of all that we had going on last year, culture wars, the political upheaval, racial reckoning around not just our nation, but around the world. There's so much that was going on that caused 2020 to really stand out and be a year of such drastic change. We lost more than 345,000 people to this virus in the U.S. alone. And I remember when I was just watching it every day and was just astounded, couldn't get over the fact that we were losing hundreds of people. Then it went to thousands of people a day. And now it's gone on so long that when I see the number, it's almost like I'm numb to it. It's almost right. Like I'm used to it.
Right.
Saying, my God, this is where we are in our nation and in the world.
Right.
Ghana lost 335 by last count, 335. Uganda lost 274. And of course, the numbers are going up and up and up. Over 19 million people were affected in the U.S. alone last year, and over 80 million people worldwide. We're coming up on 2 million people dead throughout the world because of this virus. And yet life just keeps going on and on and on. But just for us to pause for a moment and just think about 200 people literally off the earth, literally just gone. Also, last year in the U.S. alone, some 97,966 U.S. businesses closed down for good. They will never open their doors again. They're literally gone. We're permanently shut down due to the coronavirus. So we were living in uncertain times, to be sure, right? Like we haven't experienced before. On top of all of that, I was going to get the number of people with 19 million on, we're now over 20 million people have been affected in the United States. That's to say nothing of the sicknesses, the long haulers, or what happens to people who have been infected, and they're sick now, and they don't know when they're going to get well. Some of these people are not getting well. So there's multiplied millions more who are sick and affected by this. It's just a time like we've never lived in before. The Washington Post reported that since the coronavirus arrived, this was on November 23rd, since the virus arrived, depression and anxiety in America have become rampant. Federal surveys show that 40% of Americans are now grappling with at least one mental health or drug-related problem. That means almost one out of every two people you see, so that they're wrestling with mental illness. Who knows if this person, due to the virus, who knows if this person who went in and shot up Walmart in Loudoun County yesterday, who knows if they were affected by it? Anybody hear about that? Yeah, it's in the news. And just shooting people, I mean, what on earth? And it says that But young adults have been hit harder than any other age group, with 75% of young people struggling with just mental health issues or drug-related problems. Some 25% said that they thoughts of suicide, they had thoughts of suicide in the last 30 days. So it's been a real time of reckoning, a time of change in our nation. The new year, which is typically a time of celebration, and we all celebrated just a couple, 3 days ago, is now for many a time of anxiousness and worry about the ongoing changes due to the coronavirus, not to mention just life in general. Add to that the racial reckoning I mentioned earlier, the culture war and political chicanery. We're living in very uncertain times. And yet, the scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 that there's a time to be born,
right,
and there's a time to die.
Right.
And we saw a lot of people die unexpectedly due to coronavirus. Now, unexpected to us, but not to God, of course. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. When I read that, I thought about all those potatoes that they, because the restaurant shut down in April, all the potatoes that they, that the farmers had to pull up out of the ground, they planted them. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. They pulled them up and they didn't sell them. They didn't give them away. They destroyed them. I thought, my goodness, people are going to be, you know, potatoes could go a long way to filling your stomach, but we destroyed millions of tons of potatoes, not to mention milk and all the other things that go on with the restaurant industry.
Right.
Solomon went on and said, there's a time to kill and a time to heal.
Right.
Time to kill and a time to heal. And right now, nation is supposed to be depending upon nation. States are supposed to be depending upon states to help one another heal. But in the midst of this thing, people fighting over everything. People fighting over virus. They're fighting over this. It's all kinds of business going on. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep. And how many people across just not our nation, but the world have spent time in weeping. It's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And many are mourning. Many have spent time in mourning. And as have we, a time to dance, he said, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And if any year there was a time where we saw a refrain from embracing, it was this year. Right. I just read an article of a woman on the headline says, I said goodbye to my mother through a window, a plate glass window. Her mother died. She couldn't hug her mother.
Right.
She couldn't hug her mother. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Right. And this is a time to refrain. I don't know what it's going to be like when right. this thing finally gets under control and right. folk be able to hug again. I'll tell you what. Someone probably get you in a bear hug and won't let go. They're probably like, hold on. because it's just been so long. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. My goodness. I'm trying to think. I think Carl was the last man I hugged, and that was... I was like four months ago. I ain't hugged a brother since. I don't know who. Maybe I hugged Moses. I don't know. It's like I'm trying to figure this thing out.
Right.
Amen. Come on now. He says it's a time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. And boy, was 2020 with the racial reckoning with George Floyd, was it ever a year to speak
up? Right.
Amen. And it didn't happen only here in America, but it went around the globe.
The world.
People around the globe were speaking up about racial inequality and abuse and all of this. And, you know, God help us.
Right.
God help us to look in the mirror, see who we are, and repent and ask God to forgive us and cleanse us. Because we tore up from the floor up for real. To include the church.
Amen.
I said to include the church.
You got the message. You got
God
the message.
Help us. Lord, we need Jesus, y'all. We need, oh God, we need him.
Yes, sir. Yes, we do.
He went on and said, it's a time to love and a time to hate. This is a time to love, church. My goodness. A time of war and a time of peace. And so Solomon laid out there concerning us who live on the earth that no matter what time we find ourselves living in, our time is in that Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. We are affected by the times described here. Amen. We were in 2020 and we will be in 2021. I know the prophets have already come out and you get on YouTube and everyone got their 2021 prophecy and the Lord says it's going to be a year of increase. And I'm looking at this going, Father, help us. God, help us. Lord Jesus, help us. Because we don't need a prophetic word. Listen, we have a more sure word of prophecy right here. Amen. This governs every prophetic word that comes out of the mouth of any prophet. Amen. And so I thank God for prophecy. Amen. I don't like false prophets. And there are plenty in the land. There are plenty. You hear me? There are plenty in the land. So here's the thing. We don't know when our time comes for adversity. We don't know. Blessings, challenges, persecutions, tribulations, even exaltation or death. We simply don't know. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 verses 11 and 12, he says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Hello. Amen. Time and chance happens to them all. This is why I'm going to bring you a little bit of that other sermon. Tori and I were sitting down yesterday talking about the Clemson-Ohio State football game and how Clemson was the defending champion. And they were the ones favored to win the football game. But that day, they got owned. I mean, it was awful. I mean, they didn't even show up to play. It was, oh my goodness. And so we're sitting there talking about it, and I commented to Tori, and every now and again, sometimes I make a comment, and the Holy Ghost will say something, and I hear it. I said, Lord, that wasn't me. And I told Tori, I said, listen, we don't put on greatness. Clemson couldn't put on greatness and come out there and say, I got this. Put on greatness. Greatness puts on us. Right. Oh, God. You see, you can be great one day, but then show up the next day, and you're not so great at all.
Right.
Because greatness chooses you. You don't choose it.
Right.
Hello. And because we see it when in the book of Esther, when Mordecai said to Esther, he says, you know, if you don't go speak to the king, he says salvation is going to rise from some other place for the Jews. Mm-hmm. But who knows if you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. In other words, greatness has chosen you. Who and what is greatness? Well, we know who and what it is.
Right.
It's God. Let me say something. Let me say this. God, greatness chooses everybody. Greatness has chosen you. Greatness has chosen me. But here's the thing. What are we going to do when we get chosen? What are we going to do with it? Greatness chose our president. I preached a sermon a couple months ago. I said something on Facebook. People came after me like a dog with a newborn. I mean, they came and I said, look, if he ain't careful, he could get voted out of office. People said, they're calling everything you can think of. I was simply saying this. Greatness has chosen him. Now you must choose greatness. Jesus said, who amongst you want to be great? Who amongst you want to be great? Let me tell you, I'm sure my wife probably, she doesn't know it the way I see it right now, but greatness has chosen her. Greatness has chosen her. You say, how? God said, I need you to take care of your mother. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
God said, if you don't take care of your parents when they're old, you are worse than an infidel. Jesus said, who wants to be great among you? Let him become your servant.
I don't hear you.
Oh, let him become your servant. What that means then, husbands, is that you serve your wives. What that means then, wives, is that you serve your husbands.
Amen.
What that
Amen.
Means then, children,
Amen.
Is that you yes. serve your parents. What that yes. means then, Christians, Amen. Is that we serve yes. one another. We serve the world. Who are we serving? Who wants to be great? Greatness has chosen you. Greatness chose people all throughout the scriptures. Greatness chose Abraham. Greatness chose Daniel. Greatness chose, I should turn over to it and preach it for you. Hey, because it's here. Listen, greatness chose, I'm going to use President Trump because he's a vernacular. He's one right here and every day. Greatness chose you and made you president. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to lie and play down a virus that's going to kill hundreds of thousands of people? Is that great? Is that your response to being great? Because greatness has called you. Greatness has called pastors to preach the word of God. Are we going to preach it? Or are we gonna play with it? Greatness has chosen each and every one of you. In your job, the place where you go, greatness has called you. Now it becomes our, it's up to us how we are going to respond to greatness. Are we going to honor him? Because that's what came to me yesterday when we were talking. In that one time, I believe it was the Holy Spirit said, you don't choose greatness, greatness chooses you. And Mordecai said to Esther, what's it going to be, Esther? He's chosen you. Now, what are you going to do? I could go on, but I digress. I'm gonna pull away from that because I need to go through the scriptures and put that together and come to you at another time with it because that thing is for real. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 12, it says, for man also does not know his time. Man does not also know his time. Like a fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Listen, none of us know our time. James said it. James chapter 4. He says, what is wrong with you people who say we're going to go into such and such a city, buy and sell and get gain, and we're going to become rich? He says, when you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, you don't know what your time is. And Solomon is saying the same thing here. Now, but here comes the good news. Daniel 2:21. Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar says, he, God, changes the times and the seasons. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. Amen. You and I are kings and priests in our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and says, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He gives wisdom to the wise. Amen. That means I can't boast for the wisdom I have. That means the understanding that you do have, you can't boast about it. Mm-hmm. No, you're not all that smart. He made you smart. The glory to God. Ain't none of us all that smart. Ah, yes. All those times mentioned in Ecclesiastes, Chapter 3, all those times, the scripture says, God is in control of. He changes the times and the season. Amen. He's Lord over. Don't we sing the song, time is in his hands. How great is our God? Time is in his hands. And literally they are. Now we go to Psalm 31:15. If you haven't memorized it, memorize it. It's the title of the sermon. David running from Saul. David's life. He said, he told Jonathan, Saul's son, he says, I'm but a step from, there's but a step between me and death. He said, your father's going to kill me. And Jonathan said, no, my father's not, he's not going to get to you. He says, God's got you, David. God's protecting you. And this is what David penned in Psalm 31 verse 15. Get a hold of this. My times are in your hands. Lord. My times are in your hands.
Amen.
And we know this to be true just experientially, because the reason why you and I are here in 2021 and didn't get taken out in 2020 is because of God.
Amen.
He has our times in his hand. Don't we sing this? He has the whole world in his hands. He's got my mother and my father. He's got my brother and my sister. Amen. He's got the whole world in his hands. And but David here says he says my times are in your hands. And that's what if you don't get anything out of this, please get that. Because not only my times, not only the present, but where we are going tomorrow. I love the saying, he's standing in our future, because literally he is. And he's standing there and beckoning to us, saying, come, just like when Peter wanted to get out of the boat, Jesus walking on the water. And he said, come on, Peter, because I got your future. It's secure. Come on to me. And so we can go to him. So he says, my time's in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. We saw what in David's life there, God delivered him from Saul. The scriptures even tell us that. But God also delivered his son, Jesus Christ, from all of his enemies who would have tried to kill him before his time. So God determines our times. He determined them in 2020. He's going to determine them in 2021. Therefore, we can rest in hope and be full of faith and not fear regarding this year. Regarding this year. You see, the world's losing its mind with fear and anxiety and worry over what's going to happen this year. The Christian ought not to. The Christian doesn't have to. Why? Because my times are in his hands. Yeah, I get excited just thinking about it. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. You say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Some of us lost our jobs during the pandemic. And we thought, how am I going to make it? God already had it worked out. I see Melody shaking her head. I said, God already had it worked out. And so when you don't know what you're going to do, when you don't know how you're going to make it, remember this, your times are in his hand, literally. So what we do, we run to him and we keep our trust in him. We put our faith in him. And we know that he's faithful to what he's told us. God knows our times. He's standing in our future. He goes before us, literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, if God said it in the Old Testament minute, how much more in the New Covenant, huh? How much more in Genesis 24 and 7, Abraham sends his servant to get a wife for Isaac. And the servant says, well, what if she won't come with me? And Abraham says this, my God. My God shall send his angel before you. My God. Abraham had faith in God, church. Hey, you know, I don't worry about who my son and daughter gonna marry. You know why? I ain't worried about it. You know, I don't fret about my daughter when she goes out and she's down in Mississippi. And like, she's down there all by herself. I'm like, yeah, she's down there all, but she ain't all by herself. We pray. Listen, we pray. And listen, we know God who goes before us, right? He says, my God will send his angel before you and he's going to provide a wife for my son. You just be faithful to go. Amen. Same way with us. We just be faithful to go. Know that God has gone before us. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, because I'll never forget this. You remember Moses was working overseas. He was in Uganda working. And his wife and family over here. But all of a sudden, when I saw Moses show up, he's in church. This was January, a year ago. I believe it was January he came home. And maybe it was December. I can't remember. But all of a sudden, he shows up in church. And Moses said, I'm like, hey, brother, what are you doing here? He says, contract ended. It's over. I said, all right, well, God brought you home. And then either that month or the next month, the pandemic hit. And then we looked at each other and said, oh, God brought Moses home before everything shut down, before he couldn't get back. God went before him. And see, God orchestrates events. He's over events of your life. This is why we don't get confounded when it doesn't go our way. Why? Because God's in it. My times are in his hands. Amen. And so I'll never forget. He fixed it so that I was prepared to move our business from Fairfax into, that's where I'm sitting right now in our basement. We have been there. I have been working where I was working for over 30 years. And God said, now's the time.
Amen.
Sit down. Move it. Why? Our times are in his hands. They're in his hands. Amen. We could go on and on and on. We could, if we open up testimony, we could sit here all day long and all next week testifying about how God in his time has done. And so our times literally are in his hands. Even in this time of the pandemic, our times are in his hands. Matthew 26:18. I'm going to look at Jesus because he said, he told his disciples, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. My time is at hand. You see, Jesus was the only one who ever lived who knew his times. Ecclesiastes says, we don't know our times, and we don't. James said the same thing. We don't know. But God knows our times because our times are in his hands. And Jesus said, go to this man and tell him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. That word time is kairos in the Greek. It means a set time or a proper time. And he said, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. Jesus had someone marked out for the time and the place that he would spend Passover, where it would change from Passover to the new covenant in his blood. He had that whole time and place marked out for all of eternity. And he knew the time. Now, he knew his time, but he knows ours too. Amen. Remember Peter's temptation? Remember Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. In other words, it's your time for temptation, Peter. Guess what? He knows our time of temptation too. Let me tell you a little secret I've learned over the years. When you wake up in the middle of the night and can't sleep, most of the time it's to pray for yourself. Why? Because there's a temptation about to come your way. Just like when the disciples were with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told them, stay awake with me and pray. He said, stay awake and watch. Remember, he told Peter, Peter, there's a temptation coming. Peter's was coming. Jesus was in his. What did Jesus do? In his temptation, he went, got alone and prayed and sought his Father. What did Peter do? Peter and the disciples were asleep. But Jesus wanted them to stay awake so they could pray and not enter temptation. I felt at times when I've been up all night, it's because I've been praying, because there's a temptation coming to me later that day that if I pray, I'll overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because God knows our times. He knows where we're headed. He knows what's coming. Amen?
Amen.
Luke 9:51, it says, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. When the time of Jesus' crucifixion, his suffering, his passion, when that time came, remember, Jesus knows his times. When that time came, Jesus didn't run away from it. He walked towards it. And I believe that's some of the reason why we don't know our time. Hello. I said, I believe that's some of the reason why we don't know our time. Because if I told you, forget me, if God told you such and such and such and such is about to happen, you would, most of us would go, well, you know, on second thought, I got something to do. But in the book of Acts, the prophets prophesied and told Paul, you're going up to Jerusalem and the Jews are going to bind your hands and your feet and they're going to deliver you to the Gentiles. And all the Christians said, Paul, don't go, don't go, don't go. Paul said, stop all that weeping and crying. You're breaking my heart with this foolishness. He said, I'm not only ready to suffer, I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm ready. Whatever God has for me, whatever my time is, I'm ready for. He said, I want to go. God let Paul know his time, by the way. We'll get to that in a second. But Jesus didn't walk away from his time. The Bible says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew his time and he walked right into it. God has our times in his hands. Will we walk right into the time? God has prepared for. Oh, God, let me tell you what. Hey, the husband must be first partaker of the fruit. I don't know if this is going to help you or bless you, but I'll tell you what, I'm eating and drinking deep and rich. I'm telling you, because this thing is on the inside of me. This thing is transforming me, because none of us knows what 2021 holds. But I tell you what, there's some times God has. You and I going to walk right into it. What are we going to do when we get there? Amen. We're going to walk right into it. But here's the beautiful thing. Hey, times change. Oh, but God never changes. Amen. Amen. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord God. I change not. Hebrews 13:5, 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our times change. But the one who holds our times, he never changes, church. Oh, God, he's God and he's glorious, and we can trust him with our times. Amen? So Jesus moved purposely toward the time that God had ordained for him. And so just like we don't know our time, yet God is moving us toward the times that he has for us. You say, what type of times are those? Well, for David, it was running from Saul for I don't know how many years. Running for his life. Almost killed. Come on. Delivered time and time again. You say, what on earth was the purpose of all those times spent with God? Well, I tell you one thing it did. It would have birthed the psalmist. Now, he was a psalmist before he was chased, but afterward, all he did was write songs about how God delivered him. You know what? And we rejoice in those songs of deliverance today. Countless generations have rejoiced in those songs who was written by a shepherd running from a madman, because God had ordained those times for him. So we don't know our time, yet God is moving us toward those times. Why? That he might be glorified. Ultimately, that's the purpose, that he might be glorified. That's why Jesus walked steadfastly, set his face to go steadfastly to Jerusalem, because he would glorify his Father and save us through his passion and suffering at the cross. So, Lord, help us, like Jesus, to live for your glory in whatever time is prepared for us, unforeseen as yet, in 2021. Because it's not going to all be, you know, it's not all going to be roses. And hello, we live long enough to know that. John 7:6, scripture says, then Jesus said to them, Jesus, the people were going up to celebrate one of the feasts of the Lord. And Jesus' brother said to him, said, we're going to go up to the feast. You're sitting here doing all these miracles in Galilee. Why don't you go up to Jerusalem and show yourself? And Jesus said to them in John 7:6, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. Jesus knew all about the times. He knew what would happen to him. He knew what he was called to. He said, but your time is always ready. Your time is. See, Jesus knew in verse 8, a couple verses later, he says, you go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast. My time has not yet fully come. Jesus lived according to the times that his Father gave him. If Jesus had gone up at any old time, the whole feast was rattled by the appearance of Jesus. When he came, everyone was talking about him. So he didn't want to go up at any time, because his going up would alter everything that happened at the feast. He said, you brothers, you can go up. No one's expecting you. Nothing's going to happen. So you can go up anytime. Your time is always ready. But my time is unique. My time is purposeful. In 2 Timothy 4:6, listen to what Paul says. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. The time of my departure is at hand. God let Paul know about his time. The time in particular was the time of his death, the time of his departure. He didn't tell him what day, he didn't tell him the hour, but he let him know, hey, Paul knew, I'm about to go up out of here. He told Peter the same thing. He said, the Lord has shown me that I'm not going to be here too much longer. And God, he can do this. I read an article in the Washington Post yesterday of a 90-year-old veteran who was suffering with some disease. And it was so bad that he was praying to die. He was praying he could die. And the hospice worker said to him, said, she came in one day and he was feeling, he had a cheery look on his face. He wasn't talking about wanting to die. He was all lifted up and everything. She said, what happened to you? And he kind of looked this way and looked that way and said, well, do you believe in ghosts? And she said, well, sure, I believe in ghosts. Because she wanted to hear what the man had to say. And he said, he talked about some old war story when people were being brought in, dying all over the place. And when he was at one night, he was a medic. One night he just fell apart. He was crying so violently, his whole bed was creaking, was shaking, and he couldn't stop crying and shaking. And he said that he looked at the end of his bed, and there was a man sitting there in a World War I uniform, told him and said, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You're gonna be able to make it through this. And the man was telling her this story. And they went on talking for a while, and she said, okay, I understand that, but why are you cheerful now? He said, I hadn't seen that person since. And she said, when his mother died, he was going through some pictures and saw the picture of the man in the pictures that she had, turned it over, and he said it was his uncle who died in World War I. It was a picture of his uncle. That was the man who was sitting at the end of his bed. And she said, so the hospice worker said, well, what has that got to do with now? He said, well, he's back. The 90-year-old man said, he's back. And she said, and this time he said something to me. And the woman said, well, what did he say? He said, the man said, when it's your time to go, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry. Be at rest. And then he vanished. Now, here's what, now I know that some Christian would say, no, that's not God, because God cannot. And we Christians love putting God in a box. Here's what I say. God can do anything he wants to do. say, well, where in the scriptures that God, the dead people show up? Well, we know Saul called up a dead person, right? Which really wasn't Samuel. But he called Samuel up and but Samuel, that wasn't Samuel. But where do we see it? Do we see it in the New Testament? Oh, yeah. Last time I recall, Moses died. But when Jesus was ready to go suffer on the cross, Moses showed up in the New Testament talking to Jesus. How about that? So when people say, I don't believe it's God. God can't do this. I say, God can do anything he get ready to. And I said, well, that old man, he's jolly now. He doesn't want to die. He's not talking about that. He's fine with it now. I thought, God, there's nobody like you. There is no one like you. So, the Lord showed Paul when he was about to depart, which put him at rest and at peace concerning his time of passing from this life to the next. Okay? So God can and does let us know the time that we're living in oftentimes, which is this time more than any other time. I've said it before. This time more than any other time for Christian, especially Christians, put your house in order. Man, look, what he said to Zechariah when Isaiah came to Zechariah and said, put your house, put your affairs in order because you shall die. The Lord said, you're going to die. Well, listen, how any different is that than coronavirus? Look here. Coronavirus doesn't distinguish between Christian and non-Christian. Hello. You don't know, right? And so... So this time, more than any other, is a time to be ready to go if he calls you. Be ready to go if he bids us, right? However, there are those who don't want to and therefore cannot discern the times. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 54, when he was talking about them being able to discern the times, the scripture says, then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And then a couple of verses later, he says, hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? How is it that you do not discern this time? And we have examples of people not discerning this time that we're living in. And I'm going to use the church, and in particular, I'm going to use pastors, because if anyone ought to know better, it should be us pastors. These are, you already knew about, you read about it in April and in May. The one pastor from Richmond who said, don't worry about this virus. He says, I am essential. I talk to God. And he didn't take any precautions. And a month later, he was dead. And people in his church were all infected with the virus. It was an awful thing. It was like we're living in a time where we ought to be valuing life, and this pastor is standing up saying, no, I'm special. Oh, yeah, I'm better than this. I thought to myself, Lord Jesus, I can't believe I'm seeing this. Another pastor from Louisiana put on Facebook, says, he ridiculed and called all the hoopla. He said, this is all hysteria about this virus. One pastor from Kansas says, we will go and lick the rails of the hospitals and lick the floor to show you that coronavirus is nothing but a hoax. So, pastors, do you hear me? Couldn't discern the time that we're living in. And I thought to myself, I said, Lord Jesus, Father of mercies, I've never seen anything like this before. What is going on? Are these pastors, do they even know you? Hello? Where's the fear of God? Where's the fear of God? Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verses 43 and 44, for the days will come when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you. This is when he came and wept over Jerusalem. He says they will surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. The time of your visitation. And so 2020 was quite different than 2019. Why? Times change. Times change. And 2021 was a time when a virus struck the earth, struck the world. And yet people reacted to it in all kinds of different ways. There was an article on the paper on the front page said this one girl has she was quite overweight, but she had no comorbidities or anything like that. Yet she has not left her apartment for over 295 days. She has not gone outside. Never left, because she don't want any part of the virus. Some people say that's extreme. Well, you know, could be for you. But if no one outside of who comes in her house gets the virus, she's not going to get the virus. Amen. So she's doing what she got to do. Times change, but God remains the same. God remains the same. Amen. And I close with these few scriptures. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17 reads, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. That word immutability. Ah, love it. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So that word immutable was in the first song we sang today. It simply means unchangeable. God does not change. Amen. God's promise of seed to Abraham. This is what Hebrews 6 is talking about, 6:17. God's promise of seed in Isaac and salvation to Abraham and through Abraham was immutable. In other words, it was unchanging. And Abraham at one point said to God, how do I know that what you say is going to happen to me? And God swore to him. God promised him. And Hebrews tells us that God swore by himself two unchangeable things. God and himself. He swore to Abraham that what I've told you, I'm going to bring to pass. Aren't you glad that even though our times change, our times are in the hand of the one who doesn't change? Literally, our times are in the hand of him who doesn't change. Every created thing is changing, from the most distant star in the universe to the smallest subatomic particles that we'll never see. All of it's changing. Why? Because everything that's created changes. There's only one entity that does not change. There's only one person who does not change. And that is so because he's not created. Amen. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. So he created all things. Job said in Job 23 and 13, but he is unique. But he is unique, and who can make him change? Who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. Again, Malachi 3 and 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. 2020 changed us. 2020 was different from 2019. 2021 is going to be different from 2020. But yet, God holds it all in the palm of his hands. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So our lives, this year, 2021, they're all in his hands. They're all in his hands. So let us not worry about tomorrow, but trust in him who gives us tomorrow and everything we need to glorify him in our todays and in our tomorrows. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, oh God, for indeed the new year that you've given us. Lord, we declare your faithfulness, oh God, your grace, Lord, which is overwhelming, that kept us all year long in 2020. And we thank you for your grace that has gone before us into this year. Lord, into tomorrow and Tuesday, this next week, this next month, and all of this year, all of our years. Father, you go before us and we thank you. Lord, that we can simply put our trust in you and know, oh God, that my times, our times, are in your hands. Therefore, we do not worry. We do not fret. We do not live our lives in anxiousness, oh my God, but in deep trust, oh God, in rest, in peace, and in hope, because there's nothing too hard for you, and there's nothing that you cannot do. So we ask, Lord, your blessing upon your word. Father, Lord, as we feast upon it, as we're changed by it, in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you real good.
Amen. You challenged some of our good stiff-necked doctrines today. We like that.
What's that, brother?
You challenged some of our stiff-necked dogma and doctrines today. We love that.
Amen. And look here. There are more challenges to come. Because God is not going to have us remain the same. He does not change, amen? But we are changed from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. We are changed as by the presence of the image of the Lord. We're being changed into his image. So our times change that we might be changed into his image who does not change. So get ready, church. There's change in this year. There's change he has already ordained. You are not about to walk headlong right into it. And get ready. But how you get ready? Put and keep your faith and your trust in God. Do not put your trust in man. Do not fix your gaze on man. I don't care who it is.
That's right.
I don't care who it is. I'll tell you. Oh, goodness. That's another one. Oh, Jesus. I'll say one name. I'm sorry. Ravi Zacharias. If you don't know, I'm sorry. But anyhow, I'm just saying, God is seeking to change us from the inside out, and he gives us greatness, and we must respond to the great one choosing us that we might live for him. Amen?
Amen.
So church, get ready. You have everything you need. I'll come. Moses is going to preach next week. Then a week after that, I'm coming back with more of what we need. We already have what we need for 2021. We have it in abundance and overflowing. Amen.
Amen.
You know that, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody got anything to share?
What happened to Rabbi Zacharias?
He died.
Yeah, he did. But it didn't finish there. It's just,
what?
It's his reputation is his the reputation is just it's sad. I don't even know.
Well, I know he died, but Pastor Pat, you seem to be saying something about Rabbi Zacharias. What did you want to tell us?
Well, no, what I'm simply saying is that his legacy, there have been accusations and credible evidence of vast sexual impropriety, the likes of which you would never associate this man. They're talking about removing his name off the ministry, removing all of his teachings. And I'm sitting there going like, what are y'all talking about? And I didn't know. I had no idea because I love the man. And I'm thinking, Lord, no, this cannot be true. But this man was great. This was probably the greatest apologist of our time, at least
in
our minds. But when I first saw it, I didn't hear about my children. I said something to me last week. And I was like, what on earth are you talking about? And they said, well, yeah, we didn't want to say anything because back in August, I was like, what? And I got online and I began to read. I'm like, Lord Jesus, is this true? Is this the case? Because I'll tell you, that morning I had read in my devotional time, Luke chapter, where Jesus says, beware of the hypocrisy of the Sadducees or of the Pharisees. And after I read it, I couldn't read anymore. It was like I shut it. It was only like three verses. I'm used to reading a chapter. And I read it, and it was like I was done, and I was just consumed with beware of the hypocrisy of the Sadducees. It's Luke chapter 12, which is beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. And so I was just taken with that. And I get off and I walk downstairs and I talk to my children, and I don't know why, how it came up, but maybe I had mentioned something about Ravi, and they said something, and I was like, wait a minute. And the ministry, they contacted the ministry and they said, yeah, we verify that these things happen, sexting and all of this business. Been going on for a number of years. Now my faith wasn't shaken because, listen, church, if you don't know now, listen, there is no man, including me, anybody else. Come on, say it now. There ought to be, your spirit ought to be screaming amen right about now. There is no man that you can put your faith in your trust. We are all flesh. We are all dust. You hear me? We are fading flower. Come on. We're glory here today, gone tomorrow. And reading it, just, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I was just like, it just humbled me. I'm like, Lord Jesus. See, when God chooses you for greatness, then you must turn around and choose the one who chose you. You have to choose greatness. He chose you for greatness, but now you must choose greatness. You see? And so, The legacy of the man, was just, it's just like it's crumbling, just like it's just gone. And I just thought it was the ministry verified it. And I'm like, okay, so they know that, yeah, this actually went on. And my heart broke for Ravi, of course. It broke for his wife, his daughter. His family, the ministry, you have men who worked with him saying, take his name off the ministry, throw all of his teachings out. Say, ho, his teachings. Now, see, here's the thing. We keep getting mixed up with the pure word of God in the impure vessel. the only impure vessel that has ever walked this planet. Come on, I don't have to say it. And so the rest of us, but that's why it's so important. We have to choose greatness. We have to choose greatness. Jesus said, if any among you want to be great, let him become your servant. Let him lower himself. What does that mean? What it means is this. If God chooses you for anything, lower yourself. Get down. Get down. Do not exalt yourself. Because Jesus said, everything that is exalted shall be humbled. He says it's going to be put down. And so you know, God chooses you to pull wire good. God chooses Bill to do what he does with his mind at the place where he works. And God chooses Diane to do it, what she does, and good at it. And you're good at it. Why? Because you're loving Jesus, and he's going to make you good at it. Look at it. Come on, Rosalie's doing what she's doing to the glory of God, and you're good at it. But we can't ever get it in our heads, I'm good at it because I'm just good.
That's right.
No. Right. You're good at it because greatness has chosen you. Greatness has, look, God told David, he says, I'm going to make you a name like the great men of the earth. Greatness, God chose David. Greatness chose him. Now, David must choose greatness, must choose God. That's why when he went after Bathsheba, God wasn't pleased. He said, hold on now. Who made you great? And this is what you do? This is what you do? Come on. Leaders around the world. Trump, I put you in office. Now what you going to do? How you going to respond? You say, some people don't know. It doesn't matter if you don't know. Besides that, y'all, you know how many people are speaking into Trump's ear? You know how many born-again people, wisdom-filled people of God? I know. I'll tell you one. I know for certain. Was giving it to him and giving it to him strong and hard. James Robinson. James Robinson was giving him counsel, telling him, Mr. President, you need to do what's right. Mr. President, if you don't. Mr. President, he was giving it to him. There are people who were giving it to him. They do it with all the presidents. Okay? Mm-hmm. But listen, greatness chooses us. We don't choose. We don't choose it until he chooses us, but we don't always choose it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we example after example after example in the earth of greatness, and the moment we think it's all us, the moment we think we are the spot where the glory comes out, we are the source of it all. That's the moment where we're going down. That's the moment where we lose it. So, you know, just a cautionary tale about, you know, life and having a proper perspective on this life that God has given us. Remember, he created us for his glory. Period. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Now, the Christian knows that. We know. I mean, Isaiah 43, 46, God says, I created you for my glory. 43 and 46. I created you for my glory. The people of God. And now we need to glorify God in everything he gives us to do, everything we set our hands to. Come on. Everything comes out of our mouth should be for the glory of God. And so what that means is, as I was reading Luke chapter 12, don't play the hypocrite. And that word was coming to me. This is not to anybody here. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost was saying to me. I'm not preaching. I'm just saying what he said to me. He said, don't play the hypocrite. Mm-hmm. Hey, because everything covered is going to be revealed. Just think about that for a second. Everything that we're covering up, you think, listen, ain't nobody going to see this. Hold on. Hold on. Hello. Oh, my God. So. You know, live a life where that is transparent before God.
Amen.
You know, and when God comes and says, take care of this here. Take care of this. And we take care of it. Yeah. When greatness comes to us. Come on, he wants us to be great. And when you know when I say that, I'm not talking at all about the greatness of the world. Please understand that. I am not talking about the greatness of the world. Great in the kingdom. Great in the kingdom. Jesus said the things that are highly esteemed in the eyes of men are despised by God. So I'm not talking about the world's you know, the world system and all of this business that people get in and get sucked into, and the next thing you know, their lives are shipwrecked. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the greatness of knowing God, the greatness of the kingdom of God. Amen. So, I'm not. I didn't want to mention Robbie because I don't want to gossip. It's not gossip. I don't want to gossip. I just want us to be aware that if it can happen to a person of that stature and caliber and perceived character before the world, you know, it can happen to. Well, he's flesh and blood. It can happen to anybody. Happen to anybody, but it just put the fear of God in you to know. Listen, the scripture is true. God is not partial. He does not have favorites. He doesn't, you know. And the same law applies to us all. And so, God help us. God help us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
All
right, praise the Lord.
All right, so we will see you Tuesday evening if you're able to make prayer. If not, we'll see you a week from today.
Yeah, let's go down. All right. He missed
me to
you. He's
still baby. Oh, look at there. Oh, it is a baby. Oh, my goodness. Hey. Look at this. Oh. Look at this. Oh, shit.
Baby. Yeah. Handsome.
And he's so peaceful and restful. Picture of us in the arms of God. That's how we're supposed to be. Trusting in our Heavenly Father. Where'd it go? Oh, okay. I see. All right. We need a baby cam, amen, so we can see it. Uh-oh. Anybody else have any wonderful surprises that we need to see?
Well, I have a praise report and a thank you all for praying for Linda McNair. It was about, I'm going to say a good three, she was in that battle for a good 2.5-3 months. I don't know if you all, it's been a minute. So, but thank you all for praying. She had COVID. She was in intensive care twice. She was in and then they moved her out, took her off the respirator. Then she had to go back on. Then her numbers were looking good and they were giving her oxygen and they decreased it and then they had to increase it again. So she did a couple of, she went through a couple of back and forths with really being at death's door, literally being at death's door. But thank you for praying. Thank God. Glory to God in the highest for preserving her life, for bringing her, and she had a stroke in the middle of it. She also had a stroke. But God brought her through.
Woo! Yes, he did.
He brought her through.
Amen.
That's one of those stories where, you know, my godmother would say, oh, you know, the devil tried to kill so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, when I was younger, you know, I was a teenager when I was living with her and I would think to myself, well, how'd she know the devil was trying to kill him? You know, but I see, you know, evidence of that. And Linda McNair is definitely a woman of God. She follows the word indeed. Amen. And I just can see where that was a supernatural battle for that woman. Mm-hmm. And she could not verbally fight for herself because you've got a tube down your throat. Mm-hmm. So I thank you all for your prayers. I do. I thank you for your prayers for her. I just thank God. You know, and there was a circle of us. There was this group, you know, there was another group of women that I'm attached to that we're all on. You know, like we do the group prayer and whatnot. There's a group of women. A lot of them are in North Carolina, Daphne, where you are. And, you know, we were all just praying, but it's God who brings the solutions. It's God, like you said, Pat, who has our times in his hand. Amen. And regardless of what Satan or the devil tried to do, it was not her time.
Amen.
Thank you. It was not her time. So she's at home now after battling COVID with two. I mean, it was the same bout. It's just she kept, you know, falling, you know, backwards as opposed to, you know, trying to come out of it. That happened twice and in the middle of a stroke, like I said. So that's huge to me. That is huge to me that, and she's not, you know, she's not like she's 22. She's, Linda's got to be, she's got to be well into her 60s. Well, in, at least, well into her 60s. Probably coming up on 70 if she's not there. So, I just really thank God. I thank God for his faithfulness, for his will prevailing, and thankful for the prayers of all the saints. And I think about what you said, Pat. You say it all the time, that things happen when we pray.
That do not happen
when we don't pray.
Amen.
So thank you all for praying.
Thank you.
Amen.
And she's at home now. She goes to, she has appointments for rehabilitation. Because she did have a stroke, but she's at home now and she's getting around and she's not on respirator or anything like that. She's not on oxygen. She's at home.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Glory
to
God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Just curiosity, how are the Pattersons doing? And heard from them.
Well, now, okay. So the Pattersons are not with us anymore.
Oh, they're not?
No, before, months ago, before the pandemic, they started going to where my twin sister goes to church, Living Faith in Manassas, because they're trying to get her son and daughter-in-law saved.
Okay.
So their thinking was to get them into a church, even though they're unsaved. And so they have a children's program out of this church. And so they were going for a while. They were going to there in the mornings and coming to our church in the afternoons. And so at one point, I guess I was walking and I ran into Sherry. This was during the pandemic. This was, I don't know, probably a couple months ago. Sherry said, well, I think we're going to try and start to transition over to the other church because they like this program and we're going with them. So we want to try and see if they get saved. So I told her, well, we ain't gonna ever stop praying for you. I ain't gonna never stop praying for you because once your family, you're always family. So that's where they are. And then the Moraleses, David, let me say this first I'll say about them real quick, but because I want to say something about what Diana said. First of all, about our times are in God's hands. God allows our prayers to affect those times.
Mm-hmm.
So our prayers are very important, as it, like Diane related it, as it was related to this woman who had COVID, and people began to pray, and she was affected greatly by it. Marilyn's brother went into the hospital, and one day on the ventilator, he was gone. I said that to say this: when most of the time, when you go on the ICU and you go on the ventilator, they really don't expect you to make it off, because the ventilator, that's the last step. So it's a truly a miracle that this woman came off this ventilator and having a stroke and she's still alive. That is a miracle. The Moraleses, Marilyn texted me not too long ago. This would have been a couple of days before her brother passed away, a couple of days before she asked us to pray for her brother. So sadly to say, David, there's another church David wanted to go to. Marilyn wanted to stay, but David felt like they needed to go to another church. And so she said, you know, I have to follow my husband. I said, yep, that's fine. Y'all do what you need to do. And, that's probably why she texted us, said, I'll see you soon. I don't know if you remember that text. And then she never came, which is all fine, with me. I mean, they're God's sheep. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so they're at another church. So that's what happened to the Pattersons and the Moraleses. I still continue to pray for them daily, because it's not about, of course, I pray for, oh my goodness, there's all kinds of people. I told you I ran into DJ who came into the church and got baptized. Did we baptize? I think we did in 2008. And then he ended up, and we married him and his wife, and they haven't They've been all over the place, and they're having some struggles right now too. But I continue to pray for them. I don't, you know, I pray for people in our church first and foremost. Don't get me wrong, but I pray for a whole bunch of people that are of the family of God that I really have a heart for, care for them, love them, and from time to time, God will put them, we'll cross paths, and you know, I say, hey, look, I'm still praying for you, bro. Look, how you doing? You know, how you coming? Because you're in the family of God. So that's where that is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Please keep, you know, Leah and her family in prayer. Her daughter is still pregnant, due in February, I believe. And I was having some complications, but remember to keep her. She can't be with us all the time. Is that mommy I see? God bless you, mommy. She's in Utah, I understand it. Good to see you. That's who I thought Tori was talking about when she said, oh, the baby. I thought she was maybe I'm just not with it. I didn't see the baby till late. I said she's talking about the baby's here. And then I saw the baby. I'm like, oh, there's the baby. Okay. And but so we thank God for all the people. We continue to pray for mommy, even though she's in Utah. She's, you know, you're not here, but you're on people's hearts. Mm-hmm. Go. We ain't forgot you. Okay. We pray for you because we love you. Amen. And so there's so many others that have come through the church that we pray for and we love, and we just keep them. Cause, you know, to be honest, you never know when folk finish that circle, they be coming back through for the second time. Like, hey, y'all still here? Yeah, we still here. Still loving Jesus and serving God. So amen.
Amen.
Anything else?
Yes, I just wanted to say, please remember Jamie's parents as far as healing and health. I saw her a couple of days ago at Mom's Market, and we just chatted for a little bit, and I always ask how she's doing, how her parents are doing. So I believe her mom had a couple of spots on her lungs. And her dad, I think he's in the hospital. I don't know if he's still in the hospital. But basically, prayer for Jamie's parents for health and healing and restoration.
Continually, yes. Thank you, Diane. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Also, because I have been given, I guess, the okay to share this information, I was talking with Steve and Carrie by way of whatever, chat or whatever. And but I would ask you, please do not go and post anything on Facebook or anything like that. Because I told bruh, when he told me, I said, listen, bruh, the way you don't want nothing known is you don't tell anybody. That's it. Amen. So he said, you know, you can share this with the church, but I'm not making it known widespread. I said, well, brother, if you're not making it on widespread, then why are you going to share it with the church? I'm like, yeah, because someone can go and post it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the world we live in. We're crazy like that. We got to post everything. I'm like, Lord Jesus, help us. Anyhow, so Ashlyn is getting married to Jackson in April. They're coming home for that. The whole family is coming home for that. Steve has an appointment with the U.S. government to get citizenship for the four youngest that they recently adopted. Mm-hmm. And if that goes through, they're home for good.
Glory to God.
They're home for good. So if it happens, he will then go back overseas to wrap up selling or with the house and get the final belongings and all that. They'll be home for good. But now if it doesn't happen, then they'll have to go back for whatever reason to iron things out. Now, the reason why I said what I said about sharing it is, I'm like, well, Steve, he said, well, I don't want to put it widespread because people could get in their mind that, so when they're coming home, they'll stop supporting us and the money, the support will dry up. And I'm like, well, if you don't, well, brother, why would I say anything? I'm not going to, well, that was like a month ago. And I told him, no, don't tell anybody. Not that I don't trust our people. It's just that loose lips sink ship, right? I said, if you don't want it known, for me, if you don't want it known, don't tell a soul.
Okay? Don't tell
a soul. So I sat on it. I hadn't told it. I didn't tell my wife. and tell anybody until like a few days ago. So I said today, so we're on, we're talking about the body and family. So, but I said to say this, keep them in prayer regarding that meeting so that they can get, Irene and Michelle already have citizenship. They can come here because Irene's coming too, I believe. Yeah, Irene's coming with her baby boy. But the other four, keep them in prayer that it'll be a smooth transition. Remembering this, okay? All of what they're doing was initially impossible to begin with. I'm telling you what, God, there is nothing God cannot do. Mm-hmm. When we pray, oh, thank you, Diane. I had to remember this when Diane was saying this. This is what I love about God. He does nothing in a corner. No one has a corner on what God is doing. The only, I heard a pastor say verbatim this. He's on the other side of the country. This is what he said. Things happen when we pray that don't happen when we don't pray. I thought, fancy that. Because I didn't get it from anybody. I just said it one day. And it rang true in my spirit, you know, and I've been saying it ever since. Only to find out this guy went across the country, he's saying the exact same thing. What do you think? You think there might be some connection between us all?
The spirit of God.
Amen. Brother, God, he, what he does in one of his people, he does in all of his people. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. And I thank God for it, his Holy Spirit. Amen. Anything else? All right.
Amen.
If that's it, church, we will see you either Tuesday or next Sunday. God bless.
Amen.
God
bless. God bless. Ah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.